First Chronicles chapter number 29. When you found your place there, turn to Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1, and we're going to look at just one verse there. Verse number 27, Philippians 1:27, kind of a theme verse for the year. The Apostle Paul said, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Our lifestyle should go right along. It should fit hand in hand with what the gospel really is. It should become it. It should be an ornament of grace around the gospel. Paul said that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, and notice this, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. 1 Chronicles chapter number 29, look at verse number 1. In the context of this passage of Scripture, we find that David had prepared, got all the materials together for the building of the temple, Solomon's temple. God told David, "You're not going to build me a house, because you're a man of war, you're a bloody man. But I'm going to let your son do it for me." And so God allowed Solomon, with the help of his father, gathering all the materials, all the gold and all the silver and all the iron and all the brass and all the wood and all the things for the new temple that was going to be built. God allowed him, Solomon, to erect the temple. And chapter number 29 is all about that. And notice what it says in verse number 1. "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender. And the work is," what everybody?
Great.
The work is great. "For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God." The palace here is in reference to the temple that was soon to be built. It was a place where the dwelling place of God would be. He said, you know, this place that is going to be built, it's really not for man, it's for my glory. As King David is in his fading years, he desires to build that temple, but as I said, he was a man of war, and God said, "You're not going to build it. Your son Solomon will build the temple for me." Today we're not instructed to build buildings, although sometimes we have to build buildings. I'm hoping that when the weather breaks, we can see this place filled back up again. Amen. It does my heart good to see all the pews filled. It does my heart good to see them filled today on bad weather. Amen? And praise the Lord, the sun just came out. So that's good. But you know, it says here in verse number 1 that the palace was not for man, but for the Lord God. You see, we're in the process of building. And I think as we build, we ought to go ahead and build for the glory of God. I'm more concerned about building your spiritual life than building buildings. I'm more concerned about seeing you grow in the Lord. The Apostle Paul said that I might know Him. That's what's important. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Jesus said in John 15, now are you clean through the word which I've spoken unto you, John 15:3. You know what my desire is for Grace Baptist Church? Is for you to get into the Word of God and to grow in the Lord and to have the Word of God hiding down in your hearts so that you can commune with God, so that you can go ahead and give your request before God so He'll hear your prayers and answer your prayers and you can have a great walk with the Lord. That's my goal. Solomon had a goal. And that goal was to build a place where the glory of God could reside. And today my goal is to build a place where the glory of God can reside. Over the lives of young boys and girls that ride our bus in or our van. Our young teenagers that are sitting back in the back and listening to Sunday school lessons or going to youth rallies. My prayer is that the glory of God would rest upon them. That's what's important. In the process, sometimes ministries have to build buildings and praise the Lord for that. But we ought to be more concerned about building lives than what we are building buildings. We're to build the kingdom of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Hold your place here in 1 Chronicles 29. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:27, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And as we build lives for the glory of God, we ought to be doing it together. And we ought to be striving together. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse 9 says, for we are laborers. What's that next word?
Together.
You know, so many times ministries fail because they think, you know what? It's all the pastor's job. Sometimes people involved in ministry think, hey, it's all up to me. It's not. We are in this together. And we ought to be striving together for the faith of the gospel. He says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Listen, someone, maybe I led you to Christ. Maybe somebody else led you to Christ. Well, praise the Lord, the foundation's been laid. Now you have a responsibility to build upon that foundation. If you have been saved for 20, 30 years, and you aren't any farther ahead in your spiritual life than the day that you got saved, don't blame it on the preacher. And don't blame it on Brother Don, the Sunday school teacher, or somebody else, or your parents. Listen, everybody has a responsibility to grow in the Lord themselves. Amen? The Bible says we need to take heed how we build upon. He talks about building with gold and silver and precious stones and wood, hay, and stubble. You better make sure you build with that which is lasting and that which is eternal, not things that will burn up under the fiery judgment of God. There is a work for all of us to do. We are to be personally involved. In the Great Commission, every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Great Commission is given. It tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's for all of us. That's not just for Brother Ledbetter that's going to Haiti. That's not just for Brother Barnhouse that's going to Zambia. That's not just for Brother Ford that's over in Greece. It's for Brother Don Hawkins for Oak Harbor. It's for Brother Adam in Bono. You know you're a missionary in Bono? Really? You're a missionary there. And Brother Mark, he's a missionary. I don't know where exactly that is. Helena area. You know, he's a missionary. JR, you're a missionary up in the Wallbridge area. See, we're all called to go. But not to go with our own philosophies and our own ideas. We're to go with the Word of God and we're to go with the Gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what's going to make a difference. The Gospel. We're personally to be involved. Now as we look at the building of the Old Testament temple and the work that God has called us to do in this dispensation in which we live, we find a great parallel between the two. We find that the things that God told David and that God told Solomon to do back then really is, in a way, kind of what we're supposed to be doing today. And I want you to see these things this morning. I want you to see that as they were to strive together for the work of God, we are to strive together, all of us, for the work of God. So this morning, I'd like to have you consider God's work. Then and now. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. Let's go through this chapter and let's see some things this morning. First of all, I want you to notice verse number 1. The work of God. We are to strive together for the work of God, but what is the work of God? How is it described? What is involved in the work of God? The Lord said, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. The work is what? Great. I think that's the very first thing that we need to consider about the fact, the work of God. It is a great work. I remember when I first drove up to Oak Harbor, and there was a gal that I went to Bible college with. Her name was Deidre Jesse. She actually lived here in Oak Harbor when I was in Bible college, and she put a bug in my ear about coming up here. And she said, you know, if you're going to start a church, you ought to think about going to Oak Harbor. There is nothing around Oak Harbor. And at that time, there was not a fundamental Baptist church in the whole county. And she said, you ought to think about going there. So I came up here and started the church, and she moved to South Carolina. I don't know how that worked, but the thing of it is, I looked around. And I remember driving up in front of that old church building, and some of you were there at the old church. And I looked around and I saw the potential. I'll be honest with you, if I would have known all the work that was involved that I had to do in the past 28 years, if I would have knew then, it probably would have scared me to death. I would have been overwhelmed. I would have said, there is no way that we could support 50 missionaries, and there is no way that we could go through 2 building programs and anticipate a third. There is no way that we could do all these things. There is no way that we could raise all that money and see all those things done and see all those people saved and baptized. There is no way that we could do that. You know, with men, things are impossible. With men, things are impossible. With God, everybody, all things are possible. And we are involved in a great work. It is the greatest work that mankind has ever witnessed. The other night, I sat down and I watched the opening for the Olympics. Now, I don't know if you like the Olympics or not. I do. Especially the Winter Olympics. I like the Winter Olympics. And I like the Summer Olympics too. But I sat down and I watched as they did the opening for the Olympics. Besides a snowflake not opening up into one of the Olympic rings, that's everybody wanted to talk about that. It didn't make any difference to me. I thought it was a great, great opening. Technology was there. I loved it as all of a sudden the floor looked like a sea and a ship started sailing across it, and then all of a sudden a scroll came out and just rolled across and people walked across it. I thought, wow, look at that. That is awesome. It is so neat. And all the things that they did there. I see the young guys. I've been fascinated with snowboarding. And I see Sean White and these other guys on the half pipe. Or they're running down this hill and they hit this jump and they flip them up three times this way and over this way a couple times and land on their feet and keep on going. I'm thinking, how in the world does anybody do that? And everybody cheers, yay, that's so great. It would really be great if I did something like that. It would be a miracle. But you know, I look at those things and I'm thinking, wow, those people put a lot of time and a lot of energy, and the whole Olympics is something that they put so much time and so much money. They said that Russia actually put about $50 billion with a B into the Olympics. I'm here to tell you what we are involved in is more important than all the Olympic Games that have ever been taking place. Amen? What we are doing, the salvation of one soul, is more important than all the Olympics that has ever been held. It is a great work. You say, why? Look at verse 1. David the king said unto all the congregation. It is a great work because everybody was to be involved. Everybody was to be involved. I believe that was the little kids, and I believe that was the adults, and I believe that was the men, and I believe that was the women, and I believe that that was the ones that was on the king's court, and those that are out plowing in the field. Everybody was to be involved. Amen? Amen. It was a great work because all were involved in the work of the Lord. Number two, because it was the work of building a dwelling place for God. A palace, the Bible describes it. You know, I like what it says in John chapter number 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I like the word mansion. Amen? Now, when I think of a mansion, I think of something that is very large and has pillars out front and a long winding driveway up to it and these nice shade trees that the boughs break over top of the drive as you're going. I can envision a mansion. Now, you might be looking for a little log cabin in the corner of glory somewhere. I'm looking for a mansion, amen? And I'm telling you, there are some of the new versions that talk about, you know, in my Father's house are many rooms. You can have a room. I want a mansion, amen? I want a mansion. There's a mansion just over the hilltop, and I believe it's got my name on it. You see, it's a great work because it was to be a place that was called a palace, a dwelling place for God. The one that created the universe, and He's coming to dwell with us. It was a great work because not only was it a dwelling place for God, a place that was called a palace. It was a great work because it was for the Lord. For the Lord. Notice the last two words of verse 1. It says, for the Lord God. Notice the word Lord there. It's all caps. Now, anytime in your King James Bible, you'll find the word Lord in all caps. It's always in reference to Jehovah. The all-powerful God. He is the God, the one who keeps covenant. He is the one who makes the promise and He is good on it. I wish everybody was that way. You know, we make a promise to people and sure as the world something happens. Kyle told me this past week, he says, I'll be there for Sunday school. And then on the way out, his little boy got sick and all over the place And he says, I'm sorry, Pastor, I couldn't make it for Sunday school. I says, be there next week. And he says, I'll be there next week. I said, well, praise the Lord, you know. And sometimes we make promises and out of our control, things happen. Amen? Amen. We have all the good intentions in the world, but, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work out. But I'm glad that we serve a God and He makes the promise and He fulfills the promise. Amen. He is the God who keeps covenant. You see, it was a great work. Look at verse number 2. Not only was it a great work, it was a work filled with labor. It was a work filled with labor. Verse number 2 says, "Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for the things to be made of gold and the silver for the things of silver and the brass for the things of brass," and so on and so forth all the way down. I want you to notice it was a laborious work. A work filled with labor. There are some that will come to church and they leave. And year after year they'll come and they'll occupy a space and they leave. And they never get involved. They never really, I mean, they may give and they may do things like that, but they never really become a part of that body. And it's easy for those individuals to say, you know what? I don't really feel like I'm a part. I don't really feel like I'm connected. If you're not connected, it's not my fault. There's actually a list of things to do out there on the bulletin board. You're welcome to jump right in and I'll show you what needs to be done, how it needs to be done, where it needs to be done. And I'll even give you the tools to get it done. If you need some money, I'll go ahead and send you to Brother John. All right? And look, we'll go ahead and we'll give you everything that you need to get the job done. I find this, when you contribute personally and you get involved in something personally, all of a sudden it means something special to you. Amen? I'll give you a personal example. A number of years ago, we had an elderly gentleman come to our church. His name was Vernie Burdine. And I had a chance to witness to him, and he came and he helped out around the old church building. He was there and helped us to put in the old baptistry, the new baptistry in the old building. He had a little front porch on his house and he had a little woodworking shop in there. He had a miter saw and a table saw and all kinds. He'd go out there and tinker. He says, "Pastor," he says, "that wall up there needs something." I says, "What do you suggest?" He says, "It needs a cross." Right behind where our picture is, over at the other building, there was a... He took 2 2x4s, cut them in half, mitered them together, and he made a cross for that wall. And I've got a picture of him going like this, pointing at it. It was a cross that he made. We still got that cross. We had it back in the fellowship hall. And it hung back there. And recently some things have changed and we've got to find another place for it. Every time I see that cross, I think of Vernie Burdine. It was a labor of love for him. This past year, his great-granddaughter visited our church service. I said, "I want to show you something." She says, "What's that?" I says, "Come back to the fellowship hall." I said, "See that?" I says, "Your great-grandfather built that." She said, "Really?" I said, "I've got a picture of that." And so the next week, I pulled it out of our file, and I thought, you know what? That picture is going to be more to her than what it does to me, sitting in a folder back in the back that, I mean, you know, that nobody's ever going to look at. So I pulled it out of there and I took it over and I dropped it off to her. I said, "I want you to have this." I'm here to tell you, when you get personally involved, all of a sudden it means something special to you. And the work It was a laborious work. It was a work that they labored at and everybody got involved, and so therefore it was very special. That which is the dearest to us is that which we sacrifice the greatest to obtain. King David said, "I have prepared with all my might." Look at the preparation. 8,000 talents of gold. That's a lot of gold. A talent they suggest to be 120 pounds. You multiply that times 8,000. That'd probably pay off our national debt. 17,000 talents of silver. 18,000 talents of brass. 100,000 talents of iron. Look at the wealth. Now, if you want to do all the mathematical formulation and figure out how much it costs, I just know this. It's more than all of us that would ever even dream. David prepared with all of his might. There are some archaeologists that suggest that the ancient Phoenicians, who were the first sailors of the sea, were actually nothing more than people that David actually was involved with to go out and search the world out to bring all the riches to the temple. There are actually places here in the United States that some people suggest was actually mined by the ancient Phoenicians, and old Hebrew letters have been found here in the United States that they can't figure out exactly where it came from. And people suggest this may have been the fact a place where the ancient Phoenicians came to go ahead and get the natural resources to go ahead and build the temple back during the days of Solomon. You say, is that true? I guess we'll find out when we get to heaven. I don't know, I wasn't there, but that's what they suggest. I'm just saying, look at all the wealth. It was a laborious work for everybody. Look at verse number 3 and 4. Not only was it a great work, it was a work of labor, but it was a personal work. It was a personal work. Verse number 2 says, I have prepared with all my might. Look at verse number 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God. He set his affection towards the house of his God. In verse number 3, he says, of mine own proper good. In other words, what he personally belonged to King David, he said, you know what? I'm just not going to require my people to go ahead and give. I'm going to give what I have myself. And by the way, if the preacher says you ought to tithe, the preacher ought to tithe. Amen? And this preacher, you can check with Brother Mark and Brother the other fellows that count the offering, this preacher believes in tithing. You say, well, you have to. You're the preacher. Listen, I did before I was the preacher. Amen? You know, it's important. Everybody needs to be involved in the work of God. And when you personally invest in something, it's going to mean something to you. Of my own proper good. Verse number 3, he says, I have prepared for the holy house. You see, he said, you know what? This is something that is beyond me. It is something that is of God. It is a holy place. Look at verse 5. Look at the last part of verse 5. He says, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? It was not only a great work and a laborious work and a personal work, but listen, it was a consecrated work. He said, who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord this day? The word consecrate means this. It means to accomplish or confirm, to bring to an end, to be fenced up, to fill it up. The king asked, who is willing to consecrate himself? The work of God needs to be done. The work of God needs to be done. David said, there's a lot of work to build this. We're building for the King of Kings and for the Lord of Lords. There's a lot of work that needs to be done for all of the things to build this house. And may I suggest to you this morning, there's a lot of work to be done. And souls need building up in the most holy faith. There are people out there in the world that need to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not just in the Philippines or in Africa or in Australia, but here in Ottawa County, we need to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The king asked, who is willing to consecrate himself? What about you? I wonder if you'd be willing to consecrate yourself to God and say, Lord, I'm not anybody. Well, here I am. Here I am, Lord. You can have me. You know, I'm not the sharpest pencil in the box. I'll be honest with you. I don't have much musical ability. I got kicked out of choir in second grade. That is the honest to God truth. My choir teacher in second grade, my voice was so horrible. She said, go up there in the corner and sit by yourself, Rick. Please don't sing. So when I went off to Bible college, I told my music professor, I can't sing. My second grade teacher told me I couldn't. He said, anybody can sing. Amen? So I don't know if you think I can sing or not, but I just make a joyful noise. Amen? But listen, we need to go ahead and consecrate ourselves to the Lord. You might not be able to sing, and maybe you can't teach a Sunday school class, but there is something for you to do for the glory of God. Amen? Who then is willing to consecrate himself to the Lord? Look at verse 6 through 8. Then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams of and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and of and 100,000 talents of iron, and they with whom precious stones were found, them to the treasury of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jael the Gershonite. And the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. The Bible tells us not only was it a personal work and a consecrated work, it was a willing work. You know what? The Lord is willing to save whosoever will. And if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you say, Lord, I'm a wicked, lost sinner, and I need your mercy and your grace. And Lord, please forgive me and come into my heart and save me. You know, if you ask the Lord to do that, the Lord will do that. The Lord will do that. And I'm thankful for that. And the Lord wants to save whosoever will. He wants to do that. But serving Him is a whole different question. Now, He wants you to serve Him, but He won't make you serve Him. He wants you to serve Him because you love Him. You know, years ago, I used to think it was my responsibility to go ahead and conform people into the image of God's dear Son. That's not my job. My job is to preach the Word. It's the Holy Spirit's job to conform people. Amen? I just preach the Word. I show you what the Word of God has to say. I used to take it personal when people wouldn't get right with God. You know what? It's not my job to get people right with God. My job is to preach the Word of God. It's your responsibility to get right with God. Amen? It's not my job to make you serve or to make you feel bad if you don't serve. Some preachers think it's their job to make people feel bad if they don't serve God. Well, I just really grounded into them today because they're not doing what they ought to do. You know what? I think we ought to serve God because we love God. Amen? Amen? You love the Lord this morning? Amen. I love the Lord this morning. Because of that, I want to work willingly for God. Now, if you want to do your own thing, go ahead. One day you're going to stand before God and I think you're going to say, boy, I wish I would have served God. It was a willing work. In Matthew 10 and verse number 8, Jesus said this, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Amen? God so richly and freely gives us everything that we need. We ought to freely offer to as many people as we can. It was a willing work. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 7 says, "Every man according to as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." In other words, if you're giving cheerfully, it's willingly. And I believe that we as a child of God, we ought to be involved in the work of God, and we ought to do so willingly. It's not because, oh no, if I don't, the preacher is going to come and knock on my door and say, "Hey, why aren't you involved?" No, it's because we have a heart for God and we want to serve God because we love God. Amen?
Amen.
Look at verse 9. "Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly unto the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy." Throughout this passage of Scripture, you find in verse 6, it talks about the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel. It talks about the captains of thousands, hundreds. It talks about the rulers of the king's work. It talked about the king. It talked about Solomon. It talked about everybody there. You know, it was a unified work. Unified. I believe that the work of God is kind of like a chain. I don't know about you, but when I was raised out in the country and was raised on a farm, I understood the purpose of a chain. It was used for hoisting things. It was used for pulling things. And my landlord used to have a bunch of old junk chains. And one of the things you wanted to do, when you were done with a chain, it was best to keep those chains in a dry spot where they wouldn't rust. Hang those things up, and every once in a while you might want to go ahead and just coat them with a little bit of light oil. Keep them from rusting. After a while, if you use those chains over and over and over, the links where they hook, they start rubbing, and friction will wear those chains thin. And then when you need them the most, they'll break. God forbid that we would be the broken link. God forbid that we would be that broken link. I want to make sure that those boys and girls get picked up. I don't want to be the broken link. I want to make sure that we have junior churches going and Sunday school classes going. I don't want to be that broken link. I want to make sure that our choir sings and that we have a good program for our children and a good program for our adults. I don't want to have anybody slip through the cracks. We should not settle for just showing up. We should go ahead and say, by the grace of God, as it says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, every joint that supplieth. God help us to be that joint. God help us to be that link. You see, it was a unified work. The king was involved. The king's son was involved. The princes of the tribe were involved. The people were involved. Everybody was involved. All for the work of God. Look at verse 12, and I'll close. It was a great work. It was a laborious work. It was a personal work. It was a consecrated work. It was a willing work. It was a unified work. But in verse number 12, it says this: "Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand is to make great, and to give strength unto all." It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about God. The work of God is the greatest work we could ever be involved in. Winning people to Christ and then teaching them to love God and to serve God, that's the most important thing anybody can do. It's all about God. It's a lot of hard work. It's personal. It's consecrated. It's about being willingly involved. It's about unity. It's about glorifying God. We are in the process of building people for the glory of God. The question is, as we think about the work of God, are you willing to be involved in it? How will you be involved? You say, well, preacher, I'd like to be involved. The very first thing you need to get settled is, where am I going to spend eternity? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never been saved, listen, the very first thing you must do in order to be involved in the work of God, you got to come to Christ. You got to get saved. You got to get it settled once and for all that you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. That's the most important step. And then after that, surrender to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. It's like the little boy that when the offering plate came by, he saw everybody dump the money in the offering plate and he grabbed the offering plate and ran out into the middle of the aisle and he jumped right in it and stood in the offering plate and the usher scolded him and said, what are you doing, son? He said, I don't have any money. He said, I just wanted to give myself to the Lord. That needs to be our heart's attitude. I hope that we will give ourselves to the Lord for the work of God. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and with every eye closed, if the Lord has spoken to you, we invite you to come this morning. God loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son into this world to live a sinless life and to die a sinner's death. And He invites you to come and accept His forgiveness and receive His Son as your Savior. And if you've never done that, then why not today? Get it taken care of. And maybe today you just need to be like that little boy that stepped into the offering plate and say, here, my Lord, I'm not much, but I'm going to give myself to you. Even as I pray, we invite you to come this morning. Let's gather around the altar today and let's do business with God. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand that the work of God is something that we need to strive together for in building lives and pointing the lost to Thee. I pray, Lord, now that You'd help us. Help us, Lord, to glorify You in all that we say and do. Have Your will and way in our life. We ask it in Christ's name.